Good morning, good evening, or good night, whichever time I have the pleasure of having your company. Welcome to Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales, and I am your tale teller, here to share stories just for your lovely ears. Now today, I have a story called The Whispering Halls of Those Damned. Oh yes, this one is a classic style, aimed to tickle those spooky bones and get the heart racing a little bit. I won't ruin this story by describing anything other than it involves puzzles, mystery, and as usual, not all is as it seems. This episode is also a special episode because I'm lucky enough to have another Earl Grey Enforcer by the name of Sangeetha Sagar, who has been so generous and supportive for the entire year. Holy smokes, thank you so much. You are so sweet. Rest assured, I'm putting that right into production. In fact, you'll hear some of it in the audio today. Thank you so much, Sangeetha. And I hope you enjoy today's story. And all the rest. Because you're going to get this 1 week earlier, like all my Patreons. Legends, turn off the lights, turn up the sound, and let's listen to a spooky story. Enjoy. The night was heavy with rain, as Mia found herself standing before an imposing, dilapidated mansion at the edge of town. The invitation she received a week ago, a simple card scrawled with spidery handwriting, had promised the opportunity to uncover a family secret. One that might explain the nightmares that had haunted her since childhood.
"Come alone,"
it said. Against her better judgment, she had. The creaking door opened on its own as she approached, spilling warm, flickering light onto the flooded path. She hesitated before stepping inside. The air was thick and smelled faintly of rot. The door slammed shut behind her with the force of a gunshot, and she spun around, pulling at the knob.
"Locked."
A voice crackled to life through an old gramophone in the corner.
"Welcome, Mia. You've come to learn the truth, but truth demands a price. Solve the puzzles and you may leave. Fail, and you will join the others."
Her heart pounded.
"Others?"
she whispered, her breath clouding in the frigid air. The first room was dim, its walls lined with grotesque portraits of faces twisted in agony. On the center table lay a small box with intricate carvings. A brass plaque read, "The key to your past lies within." She touched the box and it clicked open, revealing a blood-stained scalpel and a note. "Remove what hides the truth." Mia recoiled, but noticed her reflection in a cracked mirror above the table. Something was wrong. Her face looked off. Her right cheek beneath her eye appeared faintly discolored. Trembling, she brought the scalpel closer to the skin. The moment the blade pierced her cheek, the house seemed to sigh. Beneath her skin, she found a yellowed photograph of a young girl standing next to a tall, shadowy figure. It was her, standing in front of this very house. The gramophone whirred again.
"Good, but the truth is deeper still."
The next door opened to reveal a long hallway, its walls pulsing as though alive. A low, wet sound echoed from the end of the hall. Shadows flickered unnaturally, stretching and curling toward her. She stumbled forward, her legs weak, and entered the next room. It was a dining hall, and on the table was a feast of decaying food, writhing with maggots. The stench was unbearable. At the head of the table sat a mannequin dressed in a decayed wedding gown, its plastic face cracked, its hollow eyes gazing straight at Mia. In front of it was a brass plate with a single word. Consume. No. Mia breathed, backing away, but the door slammed shut behind her. The gramophone voice purred.
Only by partaking can you see the path forward.
Her stomach turned, but she knew there was no way out. Holding her breath, she plunged her hand into the rotting pile, gagging as her fingers searched. Finally, her hand closed around something solid. She yanked it out, a human finger, its nail jagged and bloody. The mannequin's head snapped toward her, and its jaw unhinged with a mechanical screech. Inside its gaping maw, Mia saw a glint of metal, a key. Trembling, she reached in, her fingers brushing against something soft and slimy. The mannequin's jaw clamped down, and Mia screamed as it tore into her skin. She pulled back with the key in her hand, blood dripping from her torn fingers. The key opened a trap door beneath the dining table, leading to a stone staircase spiraling down into darkness. The air grew colder with each step, and faint whispers drifted around her, voices that seemed to know her name. At the bottom was a cavernous room filled with jars. Each jar held something horrific. Teeth, eyeballs, severed fingers, all floating in a murky liquid. One jar stood out, larger than the rest, its content obscured by the blackened liquid. A note beneath it read, "Break the vessel to reveal your place." Before she could think, the jar began to shake violently, as if something inside was trying to escape. It tipped over, shattering on the ground, and the liquid spilled out, revealing a shriveled corpse with its face turned upwards and staring at her. The corpse opened its eyes.
"Mia,"
it rasped. Its voice was hers. She screamed, stumbling back as the corpse began to rise. Its limbs were twisted and broken, its movements jerky as it crawled toward her.
"You don't remember, do you? This house isn't a mystery. It's a punishment."
The gramophone voice returned, louder and more mocking now.
"You were never meant to escape. You brought yourself here because you could never bear the guilt."
Memories flooded back, images of fire, a family screaming, and her own hand locking a door to keep them inside. She fell to her knees as the corpse wrapped its cold hands around her face.
"You belong here,"
it whispered, dragging her into the darkness. As Mia's screams faded into the void, she awoke to find herself back in the mansion's entry hall. The door behind her was sealed as before, and the same oppressive air pressed against her chest. Her torn cheek throbbed, and her mangled hand burned. But when she glanced down, she saw no blood, just pale, unbroken skin. The gramophone crackled to life once more, its mocking voice now edged with glee.
"Do you think you'd escape so easily? There's still so much more to remember, more to uncover. Shall we begin again?"
Mia clutched her head as fragments of memories clawed at her mind. She had seen the truth, hadn't she? The corpse, the fire, the guilt. It had all been real. But why was she still here? The voice continued.
"You've touched the surface of your sins, but you have yet to pay the price. The house hungers, Mia. You must feed it."
The hallway was different this time, stretching endlessly in both directions, lined with mirrors. Each reflection was slightly off. Mia's doppelganger smirking when she frowned, blinked when she stared, and as she moved, the reflections grew darker, their eyes sunken, their bodies decayed.
Stop!
Mia screamed, smashing one of the mirrors with her fist. Shards rained down, but instead of reflecting the hallway, the broken fragments displayed glimpses of horrific scenes. A woman writhing in flames, her hands pounding against a locked door. A child's face pressed to a window. Tears streaking down as smoke billowed around her. Mia herself, holding a lighter with trembling hands, stepping away from a house ablaze. She backed away, shaking her head.
No, I didn't. That wasn't me.
But the voice, now closer, whispered, "You are the spark. You lit the fire. And now, you must burn." The mirrors shattered one by one, and the hallway dissolved into black void. The air reeked of smoke, and the sound of crackling fire grew louder. When Mia's vision cleared, she was standing in a nursery. Ash covered the floor, and the walls were charred. But the room's details remained painfully intact. A small crib in the corner, stuffed animals lined neatly on shelf, and on the wall, a family portrait burned at the edges. The smiling faces stared down at her, but their eyes were accusing. On the crib's mattress lay a small, blackened skeleton. Mia's breath hitched as she turned to flee, but the doorway was gone. Instead, a figure stood in its place, a woman with scorched skin, hanging in tatters, her dress still smoking, her head tilted at an unnatural angle.
"You left us,"
the figure rasped, her voice broken and wet.
"You locked the door. You watched us burn."
Mia shrieked, tears streaming down her face.
"I didn't mean to. I was trying to protect myself. I was scared."
The woman stepped closer, her footsteps heavy with the weight of death.
"And we were not. You chose your life over ours. Now, you must carry our pain."
The corpse raised her hand, and flames erupted around the room. The walls groaned and twisted, melting into grotesque faces that screamed in unison. Mia dropped to her knees, her skin blistering from the heat, her lungs choking on smoke.
"Please,"
she begged.
"I'll do anything. Just let me go."
The woman's charred lips curled into a grotesque smile.
"Anything."
Mia opened her eyes to find herself standing in the mansion's dining room once more. The rotting feast was gone, replaced by a single plate. On it was a knife and a scrap of parchment. The message was simple.
"Feed the house."
Her stomach churned and she looked down to find herself looking at her own reflection in the polished silver knife. Her face, once unscarred, now bore deep, blistering burns. Her eyes were hollow, her cheeks sunken. She realized with dawning horror what the house demanded.
"No," she whispered. "Not this. Not me."
But the walls began to close in. Faces pressing through the peeling wallpaper. Mouths open in silent wails. The table trembled as the gramophone's voice returned, thunderous and final.
"You lit the fire, Mia. Now become the flame."
The mansion was silent once more when the rescuers arrived weeks later, drawn by rumors of screams and smoke that lingered in the air despite no visible fire. The dining room bore no sign of life, only a polished silver plate with a single inscription etched into its surface. "She fed the house. The house is satisfied." But in the far corner of the room, where the shadows gathered darkest, the faint outline of a figure could be seen. A charred woman crouched low, her head tilted unnaturally, her hollow eyes watching the door, waiting for the next guest. And as the shadowy figure crouched in that dining room, time was lost. And in that space, the room remained still. And as weeks passed, the air within the house grew heavier, as if something unseen was stirring. For the House of Silent Wales did not rest for long, and it never does. Outside, rumours spread among the locals, stories of lights flickering in the windows at night, the sound of wailing heard even over the howling wind. The house had taken Mia, but it was still hungry. One stormy night, another visitor arrived. Chapter 2, The Second Guest. Eleanor had heard the whispers. As an urban explorer with a penchant for documenting haunted locations, she sought out the macabre for her audience. The House of Silent Wales was a perfect target. Its gruesome legend was too tantalizing to resist.
I don't believe in ghosts. Who would?
She told herself as she stood at the rusted gate, flashlight in hand and camera strapped to her chest. Rain slicked her jacket and thunder cracked overhead. She shoved the gate open, the hinges screaming in protest, and approached the mansion. Its warped wooden facade loomed like a living thing, its windows dark eyed staring down at her. She hesitated at the door, feeling a prickling sensation of deja vu, though she had never been here before. Shaking it off, she pushed inside. The door slammed shut behind her as though it had been waiting for her arrival. The air was thick and damp, carrying the faint scent of burning wood. The foyer was eerily pristine, unlike the decaying exterior. A grand staircase rose ahead, and a faint melodic hum drifted down from above. The sound wasn't welcoming. It was the kind of tune meant to unnerve, to draw prey closer.
Perfect ambience.
Eleanor muttered, turning on her camera.
And creepy as hell. Gosh.
Her voice echoed unnaturally, bouncing back distorted and overlapping. She frowned, lowering the camera. Something wasn't right. Then came the voice. It spilled from a gramophone that she hadn't noticed before, perched on a dusty side table.
Welcome, Eleanor. You've come for answers, but answers require sacrifice. Shall we begin?
Eleanor's bravado wavered. She had heard about Mia, how the young woman had disappeared after entering this very house. The logical side of her brain insisted it was a hoax, an urban legend, designed to scare off intruders, but her gut churned with unease. The first room was an ornate parlour, lined with bookshelves stuffed with ancient tomes. In the centre of the room stood a pedestal upon which sat a book bound in black leather. Its title was scrawled in an unfamiliar script, and next to it lay a tarnished dagger. A sign hanging above the pedestal read, "Blood unlocks the knowledge you seek." Eleanor hesitated, her hands trembling. The dagger glinted in the dim light. Was this part of the hoax? Some sort of elaborate haunted house gimmick? She leaned closer, noticing a faint wet stain on the book's cover. The air grew heavier, pressing against her chest. "This is insane," she whispered. But the silence pressed her to act. With a sharp intake of breath, she nicked her palm at the dagger and let a few drops of blood fall onto the book. The reaction was immediate. The room darkened and the book's pages flipped wildly as they caught in a windstorm. The words on the page writhed and bled together, forming shapes, faces contorted in agony, their mouths silently screaming. One of the faces turned to her, its hollow eyes locking onto hers. "Rah!" it mouthed. Eleanor stumbled back as the book slammed shut. The pedestal cracked into and a door on the far wall creaked open, revealing a spiraling staircase descending into the earth. The air that wafted up was ice cold and carried a faint metallic tang. She descended into the depths, every step sending shivers through her body. The walls of the staircase were damp and pulsing, as though the house were alive. The whispers began as soon as she reached the bottom.
You came to see. Now you will. She's waiting for you. Feed the house, or the house will feed on you.
The whispers coalesced into a shriek as she entered a cavernous room. At its center was a dining table, grotesque and familiar. But unlike Mia's encounter, the feast was incomplete. A place had been set for Eleanor, a tarnished plate before an empty chair. Sitting at the far end of the table was the charred figure of a woman in a burnt dress, her head tilted unnaturally as her hollow eyes fixed on Eleanor.
Welcome,
the figure rasped, its voice layered with agony.
You brought yourself here. Sit.
Eleanor couldn't move, her body frozen in place as the figure rose, the stench of burnt flesh filling the air.
I was like you once. I thought I was free, but the house is never done.
The figure gestured to the chair, and Eleanor felt herself compelled to sit. She tried to resist, but her legs moved on their own. As she sank into the seat, the plate before her began to fill. On it were pieces of her own flesh, her fingers, her eyes, her strips of skin, all neatly arranged in a horrific tableau. The burnt woman leaned closer, her charred lips twisted into a smile.
The house hungers, Eleanor. Feed it. Or become it.
Eleanor's trembling hand hovered over the plate as her wide, tear-filled eyes locked onto the charred woman at the end of the table. The figure's burnt lips twisted into a grotesque smile, her exposed teeth scorched black and cracked.
Eat.
The woman rasped, the sound dragging like nails on rusted metal. Her hollow eye sockets burned faintly, flickering like dying embers.
You cannot leave until the house is satisfied.
Eleanor's gaze dropped to the plate before her. It wasn't just her flesh anymore. The pieces moved. A strip of skin twitched. A finger curled in on itself. The plate began to fill with a dark, viscous fluid, pooling beneath the grotesque feast and releasing a stench so foul, it made her gag.
No. No, I won't.
Pushing back from the table, the house groaned in response. The walls rippled as though made of flesh, and the shadows in the corners surged towards her, twisting into hands that clawed at her legs and dragged her back towards the table. She fought, kicking and screaming, but the charred woman's laughter grew louder, joined by another sound. Eleanor's own voice, mocking her in distorted echoes. The dining room melted away, and Eleanor was hurled into a dark, pulsating corridor. The walls seemed alive, veins bulging beneath their surface, oozing black ichor that dripped to the floor and hissed like acid. She staggered to her feet, panting, and turned to see the charred woman following her, dragging her broken, disjointed body across the ground. Each movement sent chunks of burnt flesh sloughing off, revealing raw muscle and bone beneath.
You can't escape.
The woman crooned.
You're part of the house now.
Eleanor bolted, her flashlight swinging wildly as she sprinted down the corridor. The path twisted unnaturally, turning back on itself in impossible ways. She stopped in front of a door, its surface slick with crimson sheen. Words were carved into it, the letters seeming to bleed as she read, "See yourself." The doors opened on its own, revealing a room filled with broken mirrors. Each shard reflected her image, but every version of herself was worse than the last. One had no eyes, blood streaking down her hollow sockets. Another was missing her jaw. Another, her tongue, writhing like a dying worm. The largest mirror showing a version of her already charred and twisted body the flesh on her arms peeling away to expose glistening tendons. "Do you see it now?" the voice whispered, echoing from every mirror. "This is what you've always been." Elena screamed and smashed the mirror with her camera, but the shards flew into the air, embedding themselves into her skin. She fell to the ground, writhing as the glass sank deeper, slicing her flesh open. Her blood dripped onto the floor, but instead of pooling, it began to rise, forming thin, red tendrils that snaked upward and twisted into grotesque shapes. The tendrils coalesced into the shape of a human, a perfect, blood-soaked copy of herself. Its head jerked unnaturally to one side, and it smiled at her with impossibly wide lips, teeth too long and too sharp.
"You are the house,"
it said in a voice like hers, but layered with grotesque accents.
"And the house is you."
Elena crawled backwards as the figure advanced, leaving bloody footprints in her wake. Her back hit the wall and the surface rippled, pulling her into it like quicksand. She clawed and screamed, but the wall enveloped her, dragging her into another room. This one was impossibly large, its ceilings disappearing into darkness. The floor was covered in broken bones, each fragment clicking and grinding as she moved. At the center of the room stood a towering structure, a pulsating mass of flesh and bone rising in grotesque spirals. Faces pushed through the surface of the mass, their mouths opening in silent screams before being swallowed again. The charred woman's voice echoed all around her.
"This is the heart of the house, and you are its newest vein."
Elena felt her body grow heavy, her legs refusing to move as the floor beneath her began to writhe. The bones clicked together, forming skeletal hands that grabbed her ankles and pulled her forward. She screamed, her fingernails breaking as she clawed at the floor. But there was no escape. The fleshy tower opened, revealing a gaped maw, lined with jagged teeth inside. The faces of the house's victims twisted and screamed within this maw, their voices merging into a deafening roar. "No, please," Elena begged, tears streaming down her face. The tower's maw descended, swallowing her whole. Darkness consumed her, and for a moment there was silence. When Elena opened her eyes, she was back in the dining room. But now, she was standing at the far end of the table. Her camera was gone, and when she looked down, her hands were blackened and burnt, her flesh barely clinging to her bone. Across from her, another plate was being set, waiting for the house's next guest. And Elena smiled. Her voice joined the whispers in the walls. "The house hungers." The table groaned as its edges warped and stretched, twisting into sinewy shapes that resembled human limbs. The dining room itself seemed to come alive, the walls pulsating with a wet, rhythmic thrum like a beating heart. A sickly yellow fluid seeped from cracks in the ceilings, dripping onto the floor and pooling beneath the table, where malformed faces began to emerge from the viscous liquid, their mouths opened wide in soundless screams, tongues writhing like eels as they gurgled and sank back into the muck. From the shadows, a new figure began to take shape, its body cobbled together from the discarded remains of past victims. Its legs were too long, ending in sharp, jagged points, and its arms twisted unnaturally, fingers curling into claws. The creature's face was a patchwork of human features, each stitched together with tendons that bled and pulsed, eyes that didn't match size or color, rolled in their sockets. And when it opened its mouth, a cascade of teeth spilled out like shards of broken glass. Elena, now fully part of the house, stepped forward, her burnt frame blending seamlessly with the grotesque surroundings. her hollow gaze locked onto the creature as she whispered in a voice layered with 100 agonizing tones.
Bring them. The house needs more.
The creature twisted its head, letting out a choking gurgle that could have been laughter, and scuttled towards the door. It was ready to hunt. Well, this one was quite the story. Goodness. We had mysteries, we had puzzles, and we had demonic houses. I thought I'd go back to a classic tale. A style that's really close to home, a bit Goosebumps-esque, with a more body horror feel to it. You know my love of body horror legends. So I hope you enjoyed this little sidestep into the old school classics. And it was also one of the first big stress tests I've ever done with voiceover narration using AI. So I used my own recordings, my own emotion, my own angle and vocal tone to create two different voices under the Charlotte and Jessica voice set. I'm sure you can spot them, but I gotta say, I think this is getting closer and closer to really capturing that vocal tone. Anyway, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. A huge shout out to Sangeetha Sagar, who's my new enforcer for the entire year. Thank you so much, Sangeetha. It is a joy to have your support. And if you want to be a Patreon supporter as well, visit my Patreon at www.patreon.com/SFGT, where your dollary dues helps the podcast from episode to episode. Every single soundbite, every single musical drop, intro audio, outro audio, voiceovers with female voiceovers, that's all thanks to your support and turning me into a one-man army. Thank you so, so much. Now, legends, I want to thank my Ode Night Tea Titan, my pal, my super friend, quite literally, Matto Star. Holy moly, I cannot thank this legend enough. Not only have I known this superstar for so long, his unending support is really at a colossal deity level. I honestly am jaw-droppingly surprised when it comes to Matto Star's support. And because of you, Matto, I'm able to really, as always, keep punching up using tools I would otherwise not have. And today's episode, your support directly went into sound generators using AI, allowing me to create content from my imagination. So there's not one sound, I believe, that's repeated in this episode or any of the past episodes, thanks to you and supporters like yourself. And beyond the dollary do support, I am blown away by your emails, your good days, and the love you send my way digitally. You are really a legend. I hope you have a fantastic week ahead of you, and I'll be reading through your emails this weekend. We'll be in touch, legend, and thank you so much for your support, man. Just to reiterate, have a kick-ass week. And my white tea warlords, I am lucky to have Lesasaurus Rex, a T-Rex that eats, stomps, and bashes the world of boredom and supports me in doing so. This man, the Adonis god that he is, supports this podcast, aka me, as a stalwart, one of my oldest supporters. Lesa, I am immensely thankful for your friendship and immensely thankful that I'm lucky enough to have you as my pal. Thank you so much for your support. I can only hope that those around you at the gym right now are resisting themselves from being jealous of your Adonis figure. Mate, have a fantastic week. Be safe, and thank you so much for your support. I want to now thank my next white tea warlord, Joseph Schroeder, who I am rustling up some stories for. I'm thinking of doing some Sherlock Holmes meets zombie apocalypse. I'm not sure how on earth that's going to look, but I know you love zombie stories, and I'm passionate about Sherlock Holmes, so hopefully I can meet us in the middle and have a fantastic new story on the way for all of our lovelies here listening. Joseph, thank you so much for your support. I hope your week goes absolutely wonderful, and it is great to know you and have you as my friend. Cheers, legend. And I also want to thank Maya. What a superstar, an old supporter of mine that has returned. I am again superbly lucky to have this tier of support. And Maya, if you have any stories of your own that you'd like, any style that you'd like, or if I recall correctly, want to be involved in any of the stories from a narrative perspective, you just let me know. Maya, thank you again for being brilliant. Have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead of you, and thanks for being my pal. And now, I want to thank my Earl Grey Enforcers for their amazing support. I am lucky to have Chad Warren, Peter Raffaelli, Just Heather, Juicebox Andy, Divided by Zero, Paige Kramer, Jane Gumnick, Seductive Smiles, Michael Krupp, Jessica Garcia, and Sangeetha Sagar. Thank you, you amazing people, for your support and kindness. I'll endeavor to bring you a story every single Sunday. So for those of you who are Patreon listeners, you're getting it today. And for all other listeners, you'll be getting it this Friday. I hope you all have a fantastic week. Stay safe. And as always, till next we meet.
Joseph and Maya, have a great week!